Chapter 12. They were so, by the vast of money issued from thence in the rebuilding the public edifices after the fire of London, and in building new works, such as, for the first part, the Guildhall, Blackwell Hall, part of the Dental, half the Exchange, the Session House, the Compter, the prisons of Ludgate, Newgate, and see several of the wharfs and stairs and landing places on the river, all which were either burned down, or damaged by the great fire of London, the next year after the plague, and of the second sort, the Monument, Fleet Ditch with its bridges, and the Hospital of Bethlehem or Bedlam, and see but possibly the managers of the city's credit at that time made more conscience of breaking in upon the orphans' money, to show charity to the distressed citizens than the managers in the following years did to beautify the city and re-edify the buildings. Though, in the first case, the losers would have thought their fortunes better bestowed, and the public faith of the city, have been less subjected to scandal and reproach. It must be acknowledged, that the absent citizens, who, though they were fled for safety into the country, were yet greatly interested in the welfare of those whom they left behind, forgot not to contribute liberally to the relief of the poor, and large sums were also collected among trading towns in the remotest parts of England. And, as I have heard also, the nobility and the gentry in all parts of England took the deplorable condition of the city into their consideration, and sent up large sums of money in charity to the Lord Mayor and magistrates for the relief of the poor. The king also, as I was told, ordered £1,000 a week, to be distributed in four parts. One quarter to the city, and liberty of Westminster. One quarter or part among the inhabitants of the southern side of the water. One quarter to the liberty and parts within of the city, exclusive of the city within the walls. And one fourth part to the suburbs, in the county of Middlesex, and the east and north parts of the city. But this latter I only speak of as a report. Certain it is, the greatest part of the poor, or families who formerly lived by their labor, or by retail trade, live now on charity, and had there not been prodigious sums of money given by charitable, well-minded Christians for the support of such, the city could never have subsisted. There were, no question, accounts kept of their charity, and of the just distribution of it by the magistrates. But as such multitudes of those very officers died through whose hands it was distributed, and also that, as I have been told, most of the accounts of those things were lost in the great fire which happened in the very next year, and which burned even the chamberlain's office and many of their papers, so I could never come at the particular account, which I used great endeavors to have seen. It may, however, be a direction in case of the approach of a like visitation, which God keep the city from. I say, it may be of use, to observe that by the care of the Lord Mayor and Aldermen at that time and distributing weekly great sums of money for relief of the poor, a multitude of people who would otherwise have perished, were relieved, and their lives preserved. And here let me enter into a brief state of the case of the poor at that time, and what way apprehended from them, from whence may be judged hereafter what may be expected, if the like distress should come upon the city. At the beginning of the plague, when there was now no more hope, but that the whole city would be visited, when, as I have said, all that had friends or estates in the country retired with their families, and when, indeed, one would have thought the very city itself was running out of the gates, and that there would be nobody left behind, you may be sure from that hour all trade, except such as related to immediate subsistence, was, as it were, at a full stop. This is so lively a case, and contains in it so much of the real condition of the people, that I think I cannot be too particular in it, and therefore I descend to the several arrangements or classes of people who fell into immediate distress upon this occasion. For example, 1. All master workmen in manufactures, especially such as belong to ornament, and the less necessary parts of the people's dress, clothes, and furniture for houses, such as ribbon weavers and other weavers, gold and silver lace makers, and gold and silver wire drawers, sempstresses, milliners, shoemakers, hat makers, and glove makers, also upholsterers, joiners, cabinet makers, looking glass makers, and innumerable trades which depend upon such as these. I say, the master workmen in such stopped their work, dismissed their journeymen and workmen, and all their dependents. 2. As merchandising was at a full stop, for very few ships ventured to come up the river, and none at all went out, so all the extraordinary officers of the customs, likewise the watermen, carmen, porters, and all the poor whose labor depended upon the merchants, were at once dismissed and put out of business. 3. All the tradesmen usually employed in building or repairing of houses were at a full stop, for the people were far from wanting to build houses when so many thousand houses were at once stripped of their inhabitants, so that this one article turned all the ordinary workmen of that kind out of business, such as bricklayers, masons, carpenters, joiners, plasterers, painters, glaziers, smiths, plumbers, and all the laborers depending on such. 4. As navigation was at a stop, our ships neither coming in or going out as before, so the seamen were all out of employment, and many of them in the last and lowest degree of distress, and with the seamen were all the several tradesmen and workmen belonging to, and depending upon the building and fitting out of ships, such as ship carpenters, caulkers, rope makers, dry coopers, sail makers, anchor smiths, and other smiths, block makers, carvers, gunsmiths, ship chandlers, ship carvers, and the like. The masters of those perhaps might live upon their substance, but the traders were universally at a stop, and consequently all their workmen discharged. Add to these, that the river was in a manner without boats, and all or most part of the watermen, lightermen, boat builders, and lighter builders in like manner idle and laid by. 5. All families retrenched their living as much as possible, as well those that fled as those that stayed, so that an innumerable multitude of footmen, serving men, shopkeepers, journeymen, merchants, bookkeepers, and such sort of people, and especially poor maid servants, were turned off, and left friendless and helpless, without employment and without habitation, and this was really a dismal article. I might be more particular as to this part, but it may suffice to mention in general, all trades being stopped, employment ceased. The labor, and by that the bread, of the poor were cut off, and at first indeed the cries of the poor were most lamentable to hear, though by the distribution of charity their misery that way was greatly abated. Many indeed fled into the counties, but thousands of them having stayed in London till nothing but desperation sent them away, death overtook them on the road, and they served for no better than the messengers of death. Indeed, others carrying the infection along with them, spread it very unhappily into the remotest parts of the kingdom. Many of these were the miserable objects of despair which I have mentioned before, and were removed by the destruction which followed. These might be said to perish, not by the infection itself, but by the consequence of it, indeed, namely, by hunger and distress and the want of all things. Being without lodging, without money, without friends, without means to get their bread, or without anyone to give it them, for many of them were without what we call legal settlements, and so could not claim of the parishes, and all the support they had was by application to the magistrates for relief, which relief was to give the magistrates their due, carefully and cheerfully administered as they found it necessary, and those that stayed behind never felt the want and distress of that kind which they felt who went away in the manner above noted. Let anyone who is acquainted with what multitudes of people get their daily bread in this city by their labor, whether artificers or mere workmen, I say, let any man consider what must be the miserable condition of this town if, on a sudden, they should be all turned out of employment, that labor should cease, and wages for work be no more. This was the case with us at that time, and had not the sums of money contributed in charity by well-disposed people of every kind, as well abroad as at home, been prodigiously great, it had not been in the power of the Lord Mayor and sheriffs to have kept the public peace. Nor were they without apprehensions, as it was, that desperation should push the people upon tumults, and cause them to rifle the houses of rich men, and plunder the markets of provisions, in which case the country people, who brought provisions very freely and boldly to town, would have been terrified from coming any more, and the town would have sunk under an unavoidable famine. But the prudence of my Lord Mayor, and the court of aldermen within the city, and of the justices of peace in the out parts, was such, and they were supported with money from all parts so well, that the poor people were kept quiet, and their wants everywhere relieved, as far as was possible to be done. Two things besides this contributed to prevent the mob doing any mischief. One was, that really the rich themselves had not laid up stores of provisions in their houses as indeed they ought to have done, and which if they had been wise enough to have done, and locked themselves entirely up, as some few did, they had perhaps escaped the disease better. But as it appeared they had not, so the mob had no notion of finding stores of provisions there, if they had broken in. As it is plain they were sometimes very near doing, and which, if they bad, they had finished the ruin of the whole city, for there were no regular troops to have withstood them, nor could the trained bands have been brought together to defend the city, no men being to be found to bear arms. But the vigilance of the Lord Mayor, and such magistrates as could be had for some, even of the aldermen, were dead, and some absent, prevented this, and they did it by the most kind and gentle methods they could think of, as particularly by relieving the most desperate with money, and putting others into business, and particularly that employment of watching houses that were infected and shut up. And as the number of these were very great, for it was said there was at one time 10,000 houses shut up, and every house had two watchmen to guard it, viz., one by night and the other by day, this gave opportunity to employ a very great number of poor men at a time. The women and servants that were turned off from their places were likewise employed as nurses to tend the sick in all places, and this took off a very great number of them. And, which though a melancholy article in itself, yet was a deliverance in its kind. Namely, the plague, which raged in a dreadful manner from the middle of August to the middle of October, carried off in that time 30 or 40,000 of these very people which, had they been left, would certainly have been an insufferable burden by their poverty. That is to say, the whole city could not have supported the expense of them, or have provided food for them, and they would in time have been even driven to the necessity of plundering either the city itself or the country adjacent, to have subsisted themselves, which would first or last have put the whole nation, as well as the city, into the utmost terror and confusion. It was observable, then, that this calamity of the people made them very humble, for now for about 9 weeks together there died near 1,000 a day, one day with another, even by the account of the weekly bills, which yet, I have reason to be assured, never gave a full account, by many thousands. The confusion being such, and the carts working in the dark, when they carried the dead, that in some places no account at all was kept, but they worked on, the clerks and sextons not attending for weeks together, and not knowing what number they carried. This account is verified by the following bills of mortality. Of all of the diseases, plague from August 8 to August 15, 53, 19, 38, 80, 15, 22, 55, 68, 42, 37, 22, 29, 74, 96, 61, 02, 29, 2, September 5, 82, 52, 69, 88, September 5, 12, 76, 90, 65, 44, 12, 19, 82, 97, 71, 65, 19, 26, 64, 60, 55, 33, 26, 2, October 3, 57, 20, 49, 79, October 3, 10, 50, 68, 43, 27, 59,870, 49,705, so that the gross of the people were carried off in these 2 months. For, as the whole number which was brought in to die of the plague was but 68,590, here is 50,000 of them, within a trifle, in 2 months. I say 50,000 because, as there wants 295 in the number above, so there wants 2 days of 2 months, in the account of time. Now when I say that the parish officers did not give in a full account, or were not to be depended upon for their account, let anyone but consider how men could be exact in such a time of dreadful distress, and when many of them were taken sick themselves, and perhaps died in the very time when their accounts were to be given in, I mean the parish clerks, besides inferior officers. For though these poor men ventured at all hazards, yet they were far from being exempt from the common calamity, especially if it be true that the parish of Stepney had, within the year, 116 sextons, gravediggers, and their assistants, that is to say, bearers, bellmen, and drivers of carts for carrying off the dead bodies. Indeed, the work was not of a nature to allow them leisure to take an exact tale of the dead bodies, which were all huddled together in the dark into a pit, which pit or trench no man could come nigh, but at the utmost peril. I observed often that in the parishes of Aldgate and Cripplegate, Whitechapel, and Stepney, there were 5, 6, 7, and 800 in a week in the bills. Whereas if we may believe the opinion of those that lived in the city all the time as well as I, there died sometimes 2,000 a week in those parishes. And I saw it under the hand of one that made as strict an examination into that part as he could, that there really died 100,000 people of the plague in that 1 year, whereas in the bills, the articles of the plague, it was but 68,590. If I may be allowed to give my opinion, by what I saw with my eyes and heard from other people, that were eyewitnesses, I do verily believe the same, viz., that there died at least 100,000 of the plague only, besides other distempers, and besides those which died in the fields and highways, and secret places out of the compass of the communication, as it was called, and who were not put down in the bills, though they really belonged to the body of the inhabitants. It was known to us all that abundance of poor despairing creatures who had the distemper upon them, and were grown stupid, or melancholy by their misery, as many were, wandered away into the fields and woods, and into secret uncouth places almost anywhere, to creep into a bush or hedge and die. The inhabitants of the villages adjacent would, in pity, carry them food, and set it at a distance, that they might fetch it, if they were able. And sometimes they were not able, and the next time they went they should find the poor wretches lie dead and the food untouched. The number of these miserable objects were many, and I know so many that perished thus, and so exactly where, that I believe I could go to the very place, and dig their bones up still. For the country people would go, and dig a hole at a distance from them, and then with long poles, and hooks at the end of them, drag the bodies into these pits, and then throw the earth in from as far as they could cast it, to cover them, taking notice how the wind blew, and so coming on that side which the seamen call to windward, that the scent of the bodies might blow from them. And thus great numbers went out of the world who were never known, or any account of them taken, as well within the bills of mortality as without. This, indeed, I had in the main only from the relation of others, for I seldom walked into the fields, except towards Bethnal Green and Hackney, or as hereafter. But when I did walk, I always saw a great many poor wanderers at a distance. But I could know little of their cases, for whether it were in the street or in the fields, if we had seen anybody coming, it was a general method to walk away, Yet I believe the account is exactly true. As this puts me upon mentioning my walking the streets and fields, I cannot omit taking notice what a desolate place the city was at that time. The great street I lived in, which is known to be one of the broadest of all the streets of London, I mean of the suburbs as well as the liberties,
all the side where the butchers lived, especially without the bars, was more like a green field than a paved street, and the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.